SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome in. It is In This League on Sports Grid, ITL on Sports Grid, with your buddies Bogman and the Welsh. That's Scott Bogman. I got to get prepped for that baseball season. It's right around the corner. You got to make sure you got all your draft prep in store because baseball is not here. It's never going to be here, apparently.
Wah, wah, wah.
As I've told many people, you know what's super fun? When at least half of your well-being is invested in a sport that is canceled and not going to play and not going to go on as... We did last week's episode optimistic. You know, there was a lot of optimism that they wouldn't get to this point, and baseball let it slip and fall. And they even met on Thursday as I don't know if you saw me tweet. That press conference was something else. Both sides. Did you see my same
the four
vibes?
Seasons? Yeah.
With the Giuliani one. I was like, this is the same vibe of this. But it was pretty magical on so many fronts because Manfred came off just about like you would expect, and everything was not answery and was really garbage. And then
I've never seen a person leave a press conference faster than that. Like, he was answering a question as soon as the period was at the end of his last answer. He walked straight away to like go get hors d'oeuvres or whatever.
Oh, you know what's funny about you saying that is that it was actually very similar. It's like when you're talking, especially if you've ever done like a commercial or something like that and you read for it, like the tonal way you speak, I'll do it right now. Like, when you speak, you can speak in a way that ends a sentence. So now you can talk like that. Like, you know, right. He was just like talk, and he just walked away. There was no like break in what he did. He just spoke and then he handed his papers off. And I mean, I was expecting him to start running.
Yeah, seriously. The only time I see people walk from a podium faster than that is when you can tell they're pissed. You know, Denny Green, you want to crown him. Playoffs, you know.
Playoffs.
Those moments. But he wasn't speaking with, like, a lot of anger. Obviously, it was in there, though. By the way, he always sounds confused, doesn't he? Like, well, I don't know how we got to this point. That's kind of his cadence. Like, this is terrible. Like, that is always his cadence.
Well, what it is it's perfect for the owners because it's a victim mentality. It's very manipulative. It's victim manipulation where it's like, oh, you're going to have to ask the players. We tried. And then they're like, hey, like 2 months. Do you think that was bad? And he's like, I don't really know how to answer that, but I'll just tell you last 10 days. And we're all like, that's not what he asked.
You don't have an answer because it's nothing but a bad answer.
Yeah, he asked you, like, don't you think it's a bad look on you because you guys had 2 months? And he's like, well, 10 days. And so everything was bad about it. But also, it was an even worse look. I don't know if you listened at all. I always forget the guys, their names on MLB Network. But, like, I was watching it online, and they were really chopping it up for the owners. I was really surprised. And then the Players Association press conference came on, and they just cut it off. They like didn't even do the whole thing. And the players were tweeting about it and pissed. And at the end of the day, what is wild about this whole process is that they've already canceled the first two series of baseball. And then, you know, Manfred's like, yeah, Thursday is the soonest day we can do it. And they met and no negotiations were set out there. Jason Hayward, though, really opened up a lot of our eyes with something that none of us knew. And this is something to keep an eye out if you're panicking and just being stressed out about all this.
By the way, just to let you know, Major League Baseball owns 67% interest in the MLB Network, AT&T 16.6, Comcast 5.4, Charter and Cox also own 5.44%.
Well, interesting you bring up the TV side of it as well, because Jason Hayward made a post telling everybody, listen, we always knew this was going to happen as players, because there's a little secret that no one's being talked about, is that the teams have no, in the deals, in the TV deals, They've got it set where there is no repercussion they have for missed games up until April 25th because it's backloaded because of weather stuff. So they backloaded it past April 25th and heavy loaded into the playoffs. So there's no financial repercussions for the owners to cancel games early on until you get to that late April marker. So they're like, yeah, we always saw this coming. So now within this next like week, I think this is a really critical point because you're going to start potentially stepping into where they would have to start issuing rebates and refunds and whatever it is with the TV companies and all the crazy TV deals. Theoretically, I mean, of course, they could just backload it or something. But, you know, there's no real true financial repercussions of being paid at that point. And it's a mess and it's dirty. And, you know, all Bogman and I can say is we all cross our fingers that baseball is going to get their stuff together and they're going to get it done sooner rather than later. But in this league does not stop. We never stop, and we're always doing prepping.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Bogman put together something pretty awesome last week that we did in the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast episode. And you guys might want to make sure that you're locked in here. The entirety is going to be on the baseball feed, but we are going to play some portions of an ADP analysis. We did a ranks analysis episode like a month or so back. This is taking a look at all the major sites, including NFBC, and analyzing the ADP to see what sites are the highest, where you can get deals. And we also compared it against Fantasy Pros ECR because, yes, you could just open up a site, go by ADP, and this helps you. But if you also look at Fantasy Pros, some of the things don't add up. So we've got a collection of really good stuff here to get you guys prepared. Whether you're doing a draft soon or later, it'll help you out. So for the next little bit, you are going to be hearing some of Bogman and I with ADP analysis right here on In This League. So we're going to jump right into it after this break. Don't go anywhere, friends. We got it for you on the other side. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
ADP analysis, just like ranks analysis, where the look is going across all the major sites that you play on. Maybe we didn't pick out your site. We don't do CBS because of the paid platform behind it. I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed. We didn't do On Roto. I'm really sorry. We didn't take On Roto stuff together like we'll be playing on Tout. We didn't get that together, but we did get those other little sites that you play on like Yahoo and Fantrax and ESPN and NFBC. Even though NFBC is a different beast, I think it's an interesting look across the board. There's always so much annoying argument. So annoying. People are so annoying. But like, there's just this big old upheaval. And if you don't pay attention to Twitter, good for you. I hope you're on there to some extent. You know, there's some really great follows and there's some stuff. But like in the fantasy sports world, whether it doesn't matter what sport, because Bogman and I are involved in multiple of them, there's always a time where everyone decides to be super annoying and they pick out annoying things. And one of those was this whole discussion of NFBC versus industry leagues versus what people listen to. And it's like, it's pretty standard here, guys. The common baseball fan who might even be interested in baseball, they're not playing on NFBC. There's no they don't even know what that is. It's a whole nother ball game. NFBC is a niche category of a bigger topic. It's high stakes baseball.
Yeah.
So it is very, it lives in a world. There are so many high stakes players that don't play, they don't play like standard redraft. They don't play dynasty. They don't do that. How many guys we talk
to? NFBC is to make money.
It's gambling. It's just an offshoot of gambling, DFS, right? Or gambling. Like that is that perspective. And the amount of those guys that we've talked to that don't play dynasty whatsoever, or even just their standard fun home leagues and stuff like that, it's a different beast. So everyone got super annoying about that online, like having this whole like industry, blah, blah, blah. All of these have homes for different discussions. And that's what we always at least try to strive here, is covering lots of different topics, not a certain category, not a certain website, not a certain league, because there are different flavors for everybody in fantasy. And hopefully we can have a discussion about them. So what we've got here is we've got a couple overarching tabs that we're going to talk about first, which are going to tell you the most expensive and the deals comparative to all of the sites. That was an interesting takeaway. When we compare it to Fantasy Pros ECR, so there's a lot of stuff there. I just threw at you guys. We have four sites that are all going to be matched up against Fantasy Pros ECR, which is an aggregate rank of lots of rankers. I'm going to submit mine this week. So I hopefully will screw up the ECR here very shortly. And
we'll set some mins and maxes. That's
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Just like my, my TGFBI.
Like
man.
Dalton Varsho.
Of course
right.
It was Dalton Varsho too. Of all, I didn't even fathom that I would do that, but of course I did that. But this is where the sites compare to the consensus ranks, and we'll talk about some expensive and some deals comparative to ADP. Then we are going to do some quick looks at the sites themselves, and usually what we do is, you know, who's too high, who's too low on each site, so that gives you kind of an idea of where you may want to take a stab at it. So let's start with the players that seem to be too expensive relative to ECR. And this is a fascinating topic because I think there's a couple things that happen here. Like one of them, because I see a couple of these guys, is you're dealing with draft strategy. So the number one player on here, but actually now that I'm thinking about it, I'm actually more surprised there's not more of this that I'm building up this story. The number one player on this list who is too expensive on all the sites comparative to where their average rank is on Fantasy Pros is Liam Hendricks. And why I'm surprised about this, I'm not surprised he's there, because closers, hands down, are going higher than where any of you want them to go, or really where we should go. Every site, they're going higher. I had the 27th pick, my second round pick in TGFBI Boggs. I gave a good, hard look at Hader and Hendricks, and I passed, hoping I could get one in the third round. They were the next two picks, and it did not happen. They went both inside the top 30. But I thought we would see more of these, because I think rankers in general, hands up, that's me, I don't rank them necessarily appropriate to where you have to take closers specifically. So I would have thought we would have seen way more of these closers than just Liam Hendricks. But he comes in here with an ECR of 55. He is 51 on Yahoo. Fantrax, he's 52. ESPN, 41. And NFBC, he goes 31. So those high stakes leagues,
he's
he goes
41
more
at Yahoo, too. You said 51.
Did I? I'm sorry. Yeah, 41. Yeah, so 41 on ESPN and Yahoo. Fantrax is 52, the lowest. You know, we've always talked about this. You have to know Fantrax as a dynasty kind of slant, but they do have best ball as well. But the high stakes guys are heavily invested on closers, and they're taking Liam Hendricks higher. I just am surprised he's the only one.
Yeah, and I think he's the only one because he is the first one to go in most drafts. It's between him and Hader. I can look real quick because I do have them. Let me just see where Aroldis is. Aroldis is, his ECR is 105. The only reason he's not on here, because he's actually is because Fantrax has him at 117.
But what about like Iglesias and Class A?
Iglesias, let me see. Iglesias is, it's the same thing. Fantrax is just three spots lower. Everywhere else is higher.
Gotcha.
NFBC is just way higher. They've got Iglesias at 51,
yeah,
where he's 73, 89, and 80 on the other three sites. And then Class A, let's take a look. His ECR is 109. And actually, the funny thing about Class A is Fantrax is the only one that has him.
Young.
And it's exactly 109. 99 on Yahoo, 62 on ESPN, and 64 on the NFBC. So he's actually a little divided between Yahoo and Fantrax having different. ESPN and NFBC are insanity on him.
So I really think what'll be fascinating to see, we're just not going to see it because, like, you know, we do a couple industry leagues, and then the other leagues we do are very complicated because, you know, the guys that listen to, there's a couple steps here. Guys that listen to podcasts are already more advanced than any normal player that's just, you know, hanging around and wants to play a league or two. Next step is guys that are going to support podcasts and make their part, make themselves part of a community like ours. I think that's going to be a whole nother step because they're, you know, you're communicating with other players. You're getting in leagues with them. You're very active. I'm getting this to say, like, our leagues are going to probably be a lot more industry-like. They're going to feel more like industry leagues because you're going to have people that follow us. You're going to have people that, you know, do their own projections. They follow whatever, Rudy Gamble. They follow whoever they follow. It's going to play a lot like more industry. But for anybody that happens to be listening, whether it's now or in a couple weeks or a couple months, or baseball is, and you know, you're going to play with your buddies and, you know, you're in here and you're trying to figure it out. I'm very fascinated to see how closers are going to end up being in true, like, just standard leagues. Because NFBC, for a lot of us, incepts our brains. Now, you do need to be very cognizant, I believe, of saves in Roto. Head-to-head, this is a different ball game. But, like, NFBC is so ingrained in our dumb, idiot brains that when we get into the 30s, we're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, if you look at NFBC data and NFBC drafts and the hunt for closers are pushing up in other leagues and you start to look at ranks and ADPs, like, we can't help ourselves. I wonder how much the standard leagues will be able to help themselves.
Yeah.
And if this is going, if they're going to push back and you really will see guy Iglesias actually goes in the 90s and the 100s, or if it's all going to follow suit because so many of us are creating this.
This is something that I've had an issue with in my my league that I play with our buddy Luke that I played for in years.
Yeah.
Like, it's 10 teams, and I'm just not – we're going to do a 10-teamer this week, I think, or maybe next week, pretty soon in a mock anyway. It's 10 teams, and, like, my keepers are usually very good. So basically what I need is a couple hole fillers and then closers because I'm not keeping closers. And I'm snapping up all these closers early, and I just – don't have to, you know.
Yeah,
and that's the thing you have to think about when you're doing your league is how many of these guys in your league are paying attention to trends and NFBC and all that stuff, because if they are, then you are going to need to get closers early.
Is there,
but if most of your league is just regular dudes, they're going to follow ADP, you don't have to take those guys in the third, fourth round. You can wait till the fifth.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Is there any worse feeling than being like, it's closer in the third round, and then no one takes one in the fourth?
No one takes another one.
And you're just like, oh, I suck. I'm losing. You hate it.
It's the same thing as kickers and defense in football leagues. You know,
I'm not definitely trying to say that they're not worth it. Again, you want to make sure that you have them. I don't like paying high prices. I think people are going to get much better costs, and you join a league on Yahoo or just a bunch of your buddies. You're just like, all right, let's set this up. You got your home league and whatever. You know, it's going to be better, and it doesn't mean you still don't kind of reach, but I think it is a little overblown a tiny bit, and it's just weird to me we didn't see more of them, but I understand it because in normal leagues that aren't necessarily just NFBC-centric or, you know, obviously like TGFBI and stuff, they're going like almost a full round later, and then you go into really more standard, they're going to go even further. You can't get Class A in the hundreds, but the ECR rankers are putting him, like 109, I think you said. He goes in the top 75, you know, top 70, if anything. He's one of those top guys. So that is like an ultimate, like, battle. That one is going to be a battle, I think, through the entire offseason. The big takeaway is you should pay attention and covet closers in a roto format to the degree where you don't get lost. And head-to-head, I think it's a lot more interpretive. I don't want the top guys. I think you can get away with more losery closers. You know, you just need to pick them up. Sometimes volume in head-to-head can be a little bit,
right.
You know, you can just play like the bad ones and just, you know, scoop them in. I just don't covet them the same degree. So I would almost bump them another round down in head-to-head unless you got to follow the trend and field it. But all of this is to say, I kind of thought we would see a bunch of these names. It's only one, but it is the highest name. Another guy that's too expensive on every site compared to the ECR rank,
This is interesting. Chris Sale. Chris Sale, 56 on Yahoo, 52 on ESPN points, 46 on Fan Tracks. Very interesting that he's the highest there. And NFBC is 54, but he's got an ECR of 64. So the rankers terrified to rank him super high because of the injury-based stuff, but drafters are not following the same thing. So compared to the fantasy pros, the ADPs are almost top 50 for Sale across the board.
I mean, I've got him at 40. I don't set the minimum. Someone in ECR had ranked him at 32. This is one I don't really understand.
I didn't even see you put our rank. Yeah, you put our rank next to these. That's really good. You have 40. I have him at 50.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, he made 9 starts last year. And I know a lot of those were openers and it was only, 42 and 2/3 innings. But, I mean, even looking at projections, this is still a 200 strikeout guy or right bumping up right against it on projections. I think ATC's got him at 194. The bat has him at 198. Steamer's got him at 193. And that's all hovering right around 150 innings. Chris Sale is still a great pitcher, and I'm more than willing to take him. Like I said, I know it's scary to take a guy, you know, coming off that surgery and everything, but this guy came back and made 9 starts last season. So yeah. He should be full go into this year. And even if they're limiting him to around 150, which is what all projection sites have him at, right, hovering around between 150 and 160, you know, he's still an excellent pitcher. I kind of don't understand. And I just took him in TGFBI. I still love Sale.
Inevitable delay will make him better. You know, guys like Verlander, you know, I mean, that'll have to be its own episode. If, again, I don't like talking about it because this is like, you guys are listening a day later, you kind of have more of an insight. But, you know, just as a blanket statement, if there were missed games, if you have missed time or pushback time, guys coming off of Tommy John look better. And injury guys like Acuna look better. So Sale could jump up a little bit. I think there's just an inherent fear of innings cap that keeps how you rank. Because there's a big battle. Remember, when people rank, nobody wants ADP. Everyone shames ADP. Oh, it means nothing, blah, 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 blah. So it doesn't match up drafting habits. And that's what I think is always really funny is, as fun as like aggregate ranks are to know relative value, they can't be gospel. Because they don't usually equate to actual full drafting habits. And I think it's actually very beneficial to see across multiple sites. That's why we kind of look at like, hey, you know, who has this guy high and who has this guy low? These are players in situations that they're just all lower than a consensus rank because I think the inherent fear of the player is different than the application of drafting them. Liam Hendricks and Chris Sale are guys that people say, well, I don't care what my favorite person or what the masses say about the rank. These are players I want on my team. Here are a few others you have, and these are weird names. Yasmani Grandal. So I think this is part of that that catcher-ish thing.
That's a lot of second half. You know, that's a lot of look what Yasmani did in the second half and project it out. And, you know, he's going to be a great player, which is, you know, I mean, Yasmani's already a great player.
But, dude, check this out. 3 of the 4 places inside the top 105 for him. Grandal, Fantrax, and ESPN, 104, 87, and 102 on NFBC, 130 on Yahoo. I just, like, that's a wild one. Grandal's a wild one.
I mean, NFBC at least, like, you know, NFBC at least is
two catcher.
Like, well, they got 2 catchers, yeah. Right? So it makes sense. But here, look, here's the second half numbers on Grandal. He hit .337 in the second half with 9 homers, 18 runs. You know, I mean, guy doesn't steal bases, so it doesn't matter. He had 0 the whole year, but it's the .337 on the second half, kind of having an injury plague first half, you know? So, I think it's that enormous second half that he had that has moved him up, a lot of boards and, you know, he's ranked high. In a lot of these as well. We did that in the ranks episode. Yasmani's ranked high in these places as well. So his ADP is going to be higher. We have him. I mean, you and I both disrespect catchers wholly and completely, much for outside of the very tippy top of the position. We're just not going to take another one for a while. So we have him just like inside the top 200 and we're not even close to the lowest rank. 242 here is his 112 is his highest and 242 is his lowest. And this 112 at the very highest he's going higher than that on three of these four sites. Yahoo's the only site where he's not going inside the top 112, and that is his absolute tippy-top highest rank on the ECR.
What I think is interesting about this as well, because you're right, you and I, we are lower than the ECR, but it's not that much. Like, his ECR rank is 165. I got him in the 190s, you got him in the 180s. We're a little disrespectful to catchers, but what's interesting about the application is, remember, we're looking at ADP, and I don't think it's great to go nuts on catchers unless it's a two-catcher league. But I think what you see is, I think you see a panic. There's a little bit, I think, for people of closer in catcher right now, where I think what they see happen is they see, all right, there's Salvi, there's Realmuto, oh, there's Will Smith. Did Varsho just go? And all of a sudden, if you're in a 12-man, you might have a third of the catchers gone in the league. And then
if you're the Welsh, you're working Varsho into those top four games.
Overall,
you're trying to throw him in there.
Yeah, right, Varsho, so. He's right up there, right? But then I think is you have that panic of like, oh my God, I don't even know the rest. Do I want Mike Zunino or Grandal? And I think the draft application of ADP, people want to make sure I got to get that last of the tier. And that's where it differs with rank. I don't really buy it, but you know, that's what tells you. Like, application is much different than the overall rank. These other ones are kind of low. You've got Michael Kopech, who I'm actually higher than the ECR, 187. He's in the 150s on some of the other sites, so, you know, more expensive. Craig Kimbrell is another one. I think Kimbrell's fascinating because he's that, like, everyone is on the planet is assuming, okay, they've got him and they're going to trade him. So his ECR rank is 206 because it's hard to rank him. But people are, dude, 147 on NFBC, 173 on Yahoo.
Both these guys are relief pitchers that offer
Well, Kopech is going to get stretched out, theoretically.
Yeah, Kopech could get stretched out and be a starter and provide you way more value than a closer could. Or if that doesn't work out, he's going to be a leverage guy and get a ton of strikeouts as a reliever. So Kopech doesn't hurt you. I think it's the same thing with Kimbrel. Kimbrel's a good pitcher, and he could give you saves, and that's why he's getting pushed up a little bit. You know, it's not something I don't like to take a guy on a team hoping he gets saves. I've done that a couple times before. It's burned me in the past. Rich Rodriguez obviously was a big one for me last
year.
Hope
in one hand. And
right, exactly. So, you know, it's dicey doing that, but if you didn't spend those high picks because you just can't spend a third or fourth round pick on a closer, these are the gambles you have to take at the end.
Yeah. You've got Noah Syndergaard, who's being drafted inside the top 200. Rankers got him around 220. Ryu, 234 ECR. He's like hands down inside the top 200 on every single place. Even you and I have him ranked inside. I'm a little bit lower than you, but I still have him 187. 234 is his rank. Then you got a couple rookies. Torque, who has a rank at 293, so people just making sure he's in their top 300. I think you see a lot of that on the ECR. But he's going kind of 250s, except ESPN's like, hey, we like him at 173. And then the Adley stuff, you know, that I've continuously brought up. Adley's rank is 308. It is all over the board, though. On Fantrax and NFBC, inside the top 200. Yahoo, 218. ESPN, 249. So that's how that ends up looking.
How are they going to have Torque at 173 and Adley at 249? Like, come on.
I think Torque could actually.
Torque's got crazy upside, but is he absolutely going to start 100% day one?
I think I've made it really clear. Any of these prospects inside the top 200, I just don't like right now. I don't think there's, like, Torque I like better than Julio because I do think Torque has a legitimate shot to, I think he could break camp, but it's not to a Bobby Witt degree. I think he could. I think Adley could, but I think it starts to go down and down. Like, I really just don't think Adley breaks camp. Torque is a possibility at third and first with, you know, whatever the Tigers end up wanting to do. If the season gets crunched, it actually helps some of the rookies. I do think that pushes them up a little bit because of, you know, just shortened season. And they'll have minor league time. You know, like, if, just a hypothetical again, season was pushed a month, and they're going to go play a month in AAA as the season would start, let's say it was starting in May, then those guys, I think, would break camp, you know, because they would be ready. So that changes the values. And that's something we have to be aware of specifically the Torques and the Adleys, not the Julios. I still just don't think Julio is in that camp, but, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Now, here's the inverse side. This is where you are getting deals on all the sites relative to their rank. So this is the rankers on Fantasy Pros. They've come in, they put all their ranks, and it says this guy... How about this number one? This is a prime example. Number 18, Jacob DeGrom. But when it comes to application and people are drafting, ADP tells a different story on all the major sites compared to where people want to rank them. So take it for whatever it is. I think on paper, I do that sometimes. I look at my ranks and I set guys up, and on paper, this guy looks here, but then it gets into a draft room and I'm like, no, I can't take that guy. Jacob DeGrom, 18 on ECR. He is in the 20s. On every single site, the lowest is NFBC at 24. The highest is ESPN at 20. I have him at 18. I didn't realize that. I have him at consensus value. Someone has him at 5 overall, which I absolutely respect. Lowest is 31. So I'm the highest of all of us on
I just
DeGrom.
Assume it's Raju Byfield, even though I don't even know.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome
baseball,
if he was doing that?
All.
They just let him do that. We should get to – I want to do a documentary on it. This is a football thing.
Well,
we
dude,
get into.
I was tagged in a room with Raju on because he does Fantasy Pro stuff. So I was tagged in a Slack room
That's
with
so
Raju
awesome.
Byfield, and I just want to be like, dude, I'm your biggest fan.
I'm, please, we're the biggest fans of him. Just
tell
like,
me about your ADP. I just want to talk about
so
it.
He's
right?
So fun. Yeah, so. It's a football thing. So DeGrom's a prime example of this. I didn't even realize, though. I knew I was high, but I would have thought I was like way higher than the you know, the expert consensus rank. That's not the case. I'm dead on with it. So he's one of those guys you're just going to get at a better value when you're getting down to actually drafting. And I think that also comes to – something that's not unspoken is like when you rank, I don't think most people give a consideration to, again, I'm trying to process this properly. When I do my ranks, I do think of drafting habits a lot. That's why you see closers and catchers kind of down. I think 75% of people that rank don't have that in their mind. So my point is when you get to, let's say you get to the end of the 15. Or something like that, and people are ranking, and they're just doing a rank, and they're not paying attention to where they have them ranked, but they're not considering that you're now on a wheel, and you're talking, what would I do with those final two picks? You know, would I let these guys fall here? Would I make sure I have a pitcher? Things start to get different on the back end of a first round, and you got so many people playing 15-man roto that I think when you start to look at where guys are ranking, oh, Jacob DeGrom, that'd be a cool early pick. But people don't want to put it down because there's great hitters out there. So drafting, the strategy of how you draft, it can be very different. And I think these players are prime examples of, hey, I love this player, but he doesn't fit the strategy of this range. Maybe that's
and,
how to say it.
You know, DeGrom is early risk, very, very early yeah. risk. And typically, I hate early risk. You know, I'll take big risk, but I want it, you know, like after round 5 is where I want my big risk, which some people might consider that not even a big risk, which, you know, to be fair, just the way you draft could be different than the way I draft. But, you know, we just went over our TGFBI teams and I did take Jacob DeGrom in the second round. And the reason I did is because it's all sharks. You got to take risk yeah. at some point in TGFBI. So why not take it early? So that's
dude, I wish
exactly.
I could take a Trout DeGrom team. I wish in TGF, I wish I had the 15th pick and I could have taken Trout DeGrom. That would have been awesome. I would have been all for it all day long. Yeah, you're right about that.
Brutal construction on that team, though. Brutal.
I
like it.
I was just like, and it was like, you know how I was yesterday? Like, it was the time, like, when I read it, I was like, nope, that's not going to do me any good here. But again,
you know how I was yesterday and. Most
and today.
Days,
yeah,
so.
Exactly. I'm a little bit better today. I'm a little bit better today. Today, if I were looking for attention, it would have been like, no, I need a mental health day today. That's what I would have tweeted, but I don't. I keep it to myself. But I think a good way to look at these is how I said it towards the end, is these are guys that everyone loves, but they just don't quite fit the roster construction of the range that they are actually being ranked. Next guy up, Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, 27 on ECR, but in NFBC, all the way down to 37 in a row, 34 on ESPN, 28 on Fantrax, and 29 on Yahoo. So he is lower than just the consensus rank across the board. But Bogman has put this to my attention that you will be seeing a new high pick as soon as I submit my ranks, because I have Judge at 22 and his highest is 23. So I will be able to make a little bit of noise. And I want to point this out.
You may not, just because I'm assuming a lot of people are going to submit their ranks on March 1st.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good
point. May be like,
there'll be a guy,
50 new people jumping in and he'll be ranked 12 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there'll be a guy. But my point is I do, because I personally think it's relatively important when I do it. Obviously, I'm thinking about, you know, the players and production and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I do try to give roster construction like a point of view in my ranks. And that's why a guy like Judge is there. I love Judge. I think Judge fits so many type of teams. But how I rank, it might leave other players as a common second round pick for me, but it would make him like the prime third round pick. I wanted him on my TGFBI team. I want him on all the teams because I think it's just, you know, four high-end category, but with like elite crazy power. So I love getting Judge where I can, and I have the high of it. You have the exact ECR rank, by the way, of 27. But Judge is a player that...
Can't believe I'm that high.
Yeah, I guess. But Judge is a player that people like to rank, but people really don't put it into as much application on ADP. Francisco Lindor, there's another one of those. Many of us are in a camp of a buyback. Spore is kind of in that. I'm in that-ish. Apparently, actually, not that I'm looking at the ranks. Never mind, you are. 38 is the ECR rank, but he's down 42, 57, 56, and 46 on NFBC. And you are actually the highest of anybody at 36, not the highest overall person who has 23, but you're higher than any of the ADP. So this is people ranking Lindor, but taking him a round or two later than the rank. So I don't know what that tells. Like when you look at that, let me ask you, what do you see when you see that? You see rankers really love to put him there. But push comes to shove, it does not happen on any of the sites. It's not like it's happening in one and not three. Any of the sites, it is almost a full round late. It is literally a full round later on like all of these.
This is absolutely what you see in the room and thinking, okay, well, I don't have to take him here. I think that's what's going on with Lindor. I think most people are into the buyback. And this is one of the things. These are my favorite guys to buy. It's a guy where, you know, he's been great. He signs a new deal. He has a down year as soon as he signs that deal. You know, but there's so many crazy little factors that go into that, right? The Mets obviously had a weird season last year, especially in the front office and everything. So there's stuff going on there. He's going from the AL to the NL. So now he's seen a bunch of pitchers for the first time, right? So it's all these little things added up to him having a terrible year, and it wasn't good. So, I understand people being low on him, you know, and maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe he doesn't bounce back. But I like the fact this guy was going in the first round a couple of years ago, right? And now you can get him in the fourth, fifth round, somewhere in that neighborhood if you're in a 12 man. So these are my favorite kind of buybacks. But it's when you get into the room and you see that rank where he is definitely not going in the first three rounds anywhere. You know, so now you go, okay, well, I'll take him in the fourth. And that's just where he consistently ends up going, is in the fourth or the fifth.
Yeah, and it's funny because that is very, like Lindor's might be the most prime of prime examples of rank versus draft strategy, because you can like him there, but in every draft room you ever go in, you see, like, dude, Xander dropped to the fourth round. Xander Bogaerts in TGFBI, which is a 15-team league. You see Wander, you see Xander. People will see like Corey Seager hiding over
a lot
there.
Of good shortstops.
Polanco. Yeah, you see these guys and you go, well, can I justify taking Lindor over these guys right now? Or if I wait around, take this guy, one of those guys will be back there. So he has not separated himself from a tier of players where he's a must have. He is in a group of guys that it's like, well, I'd love to get one of these guys. So he gets moved down. So the rank does not follow the drafting habits. A couple other top 100s. Paul Goldschmidt, 40. This is maybe the most unique one I've ever seen. He is ADP of 47 in every single league. I've never seen anything like that.
At least on Friday he did.
On Friday. Right, every single one, he was 47. Bogman has him higher then the ECR. I have him at 48, so I have him like right there. 31 is his highest. Bogman, 39, you're almost there. Austin Riley, who I love, who I did pass on though in roster construction. 42 is the ECR. He's 44 on Yahoo, 43 on Fantrax, 49 on NFBC, and 68 on ESPN. A couple others. Nick Castellanos is 46. He is 50 or 60 on all the sites. You and I actually have him at 52 and 53 respectively. Springer, who I love. Springer is actually who I took with my fourth pick in TGFBI, which I thought was like a smoking deal. I have him at 43. His ECR is 50, but he's in the 60s. 60 on Yahoo, 61 on ESPN, 58 on NFBC. You've got him at 51. So that's another one of those guys. Then you're starting to look later. These, again, are players that ranks are higher, but they go later. Ryan Mountcastle is anywhere from 100 to 154, but he has an ECR of 99. Nelson Cruz is another one of those like fascinating ones where...
Well, this is the biggest one by Fantrax, and for sure.
And this is why it's such a compliment to paying attention to ranks analysis. This is so much about the draft board as well, because you look at Nelson Cruz and you look at him on the ranks and you go, I got to have him higher. ECR has him at 104, but then you get in rooms. When you sort by position, you don't see DH. He's lower down on some of these draft rooms on the ranks, like we talked about in the episode. Fantrax 179, NFBC 179, 155 on ESPN, but 111 on Yahoo. He does not match up to how people, quote, value him to how he's drafted. So he's either a smoking deal too, or people don't know what the hell to do with roster construction, and they're not considering DH when they're ranking, and that he plays no position. Sorry, what were you saying?
Well, he has one of the biggest minimum maximums. His min pick is 72. His max is 214.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, Jesus. Average pick 109. And we look here, a guy that's five spots lower in ECR in Rhys Hoskins, 108. Then he's 138, 136, 120, 132 on all these sites. But he's 73, so one spot as his min higher than Cruz. 140 is his max, though, versus 214 for Cruz. So it's just a gigantic yeah. range for Cruz, because he's not signed and he's 1,000 years old. So, you know, the skills are definitely going to decline at some point. But, like, even if they decline, he's still a guy that's probably going to hit you 35 homers with 80 runs and 80 RBI, right? Or 70 runs and 80 RBI, something like that. So, still holding a decent amount of value. There's just no way I could let him fall past, like, you know, 150-ish. I think that's crazy.
Just a couple other. There's a lot on this list. This would be my slight little
there's
moment.
There's way more on this list.
Yeah, I would say my slight little advertisement that all of our really unique show sheets that to Bogman's credit puts together are available on our Patreon. Like, we'll post up there in the show sheet section that you can go and look, so you can see the rest of them in just this tab. We've got many more tabs. Grisham is one of those guys. As low as 161, as high as 122, but his ECR is 117. Avisaile goes as low as 183. He's got an ECR of 133, but you're going to get him much later than ranks on every single site. Jorge Soler, Trey Mancini, Hayes. One I really like is Andrew Benintendi, who goes as low as 209 on Yahoo, but his ECR is 172. Ian Happ, Joe Adell. Those are a couple of the other ones that you can check out. And like I said, it kind of keeps going down the list of players that ADP is going to be much cheaper. You're getting, they're so-called deals compared to the consensus rank if you're looking at Fantasy Pros. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to now start and pick and choose on the websites. We'll kind of do a little burn and churn here, but we're going to look at each of the sites and give you where each site is the most expensive and cheapest according to ADP on the unique players for said site, right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, friends. It is ITL right here on Sports Grid, the Mind of 1090 ESPN Radio.
and on your favorite podcast app. Whatever app you're using, make sure you tune into ITL. And when you do, and you type it in, ITL or In This League, you find this show. Maybe you're already listening to it, but you get all the other ones. And we got something pretty cool in store for this coming week. A betting series called Bet This League, but it'll be on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast feed. So just subscribe there. Get the ADP show. Did a mock draft with Eno Saris. And we are going to be doing a teaching betting series to kind of teach people about all the different ways and where the edges are on betting baseball, Bogman, because, you know, we'll be able to bet it someday.
Yeah, when it comes along, I mean, I guess you can bet it right now. I'm sure there's – can you bet college baseball anywhere? I mean, that seems impossible.
You know, but it's a great question. It is some places, but I haven't been – I've been a little off the books here for a tiny bit. So I haven't paid attention, but not all the books offer it. I mean, you could bet on DraftKings. You were able to bet, what was it? You know, women's qualifier hockey. You could bet college basketball. I just don't know if there's any books that have anything on. When the college baseball World Series is out there, you'll definitely see it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure big events, you know, you can bet on. But like in college football, I mean, there's very few sites that'll offer, but some still will, like spreads on, you know, an FBS team versus an FCS team. A lot of that is either you're just picking straight up, and it's, you know, if you're betting the FCS team to win straight up, it's like, you know, plus at least 300, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're at least tripling your money most of the time, unless they're playing like a really crappy FBS team. But most books don't offer lines for those, because you just, you know, it's just different coverage of those teams. You know, every single FBS team has, you know, beat writers and multiple beat writers and people there, you know, but the smaller schools don't. So
I just opened up like DraftKings. They have handball and darts, but they don't have college baseball.
I am not kidding when I say that I think handball has better coverage than college baseball.
I don't doubt it. You got to have the ESPN app to find it. Friends, don't go anywhere. We're coming up into hour two. When we come up to hour two, we're going to tell you about how 8.5 inches ain't no good in this world. Plus, we've got more of ADP analysis right here. Hour two coming up on In This League.